When the economy is in trouble, everyone feels the pinch. Some lose jobs, others lose homes. Many people are losing their sense of security. Anxiety is on the rise since Washington's solutions don't fix the underlying issues. It's a good time to remember where true security comes from and to send our roots down deep into the waters that never run out. From Chicago, we welcome you to the Moody Church Hour, a weekly service of worship and teaching under the ministry of Dr. Erwin Lutzer. Later in our broadcast, Dr. Lutzer will turn to Jeremiah chapter 17 for a message on finding a stream in the desert. Pastor Lutzer comes now to open our service.
We want to affirm that we're so glad that you are worshiping with us today. And wherever you have come from and whatever challenges you've had this morning and this past week, we are here to worship the Lord. We're here to expand our understanding of His goodness and to give ourselves to Him in a new way. And we welcome you. Whether you are watching and listening by way of internet or radio, whatever other means you may be connecting with us, we're glad that you have joined us, and particularly those who are here in the sanctuary of the Moody Church. In a moment, we're going to sing a hymn, "The God of Abraham Prays." And I need to remind you that the God of Abraham is our God. And because of faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are all children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. And this song is going to talk about the oath that God made with Abraham. It's going to remind us that God is the God who has promised Abraham blessings, and we get in on at least some of those blessings, thanks to God's grace. So after we have prayed together, we shall stand to sing. Our scripture reading is by Pastor Hertzberg. Again, welcome to Moody Church. Let's open our hearts to the Lord. Let's invite His presence, and let us be willing to be changed because we've been here together. Our Father, we want to thank You today that indeed You are our God. And we do give You praise. We thank You today that throughout the ages You remain the same. From everlasting to everlasting, You are God. Direct us in these moments, we ask, as we worship together, unite our hearts in Your holy name. Amen.
Scripture reading is taken from Psalm 90, and can be found in your bulletin. I invite you to join me on the bold print as we read Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands.
The love of God is greater far than time or pen can ever tell. It grows beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pen bound up in God gave His Son to win. His every child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. He shall forevermore endure the saints and
Scripture is Psalm 1. You can find it printed in your bulletin. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Thank you.
Our Father, today we want to thank you that you are the God of the nations. And we also want to thank you that you do care about the world. We ask today, Father, for blessing upon those who are sick, those who are discouraged. We pray for the forgiveness of our sins because they are many. And we ask that each of us individually may be cleansed by God through honest confession and deep repentance. And now let us as a congregation pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I'm convinced that at some point in our lives, all of us experience a desert. You are either in a desert now or you are on your way to one. And what I intend to share with you today from the Word should be transforming in terms of whatever it is that we happen to be going through at the moment. When I speak of the desert, I'm talking about situations such as some of you who perhaps have lost your job recently. And I was talking to one man who lost his job, and he said, it's not just a matter of money, it's also a matter of my self-worth. To think of my company that I worked for so many years, that they just don't need me anymore, that hurts, he says. That is a desert that he's going through. It may well be because of a medical need. Maybe the doctor told you something that you thought could only be true of somebody else, and now you have a long desert that you're going through. And where do we even end when we begin to talk about human relationships? Some of you are in marriages that have not worked out very well. Some of you may be living together but as a married couple, but there's no real connection, there's no oneness, there's no unity, and perhaps there's not a whole lot of hope for the future. That's the way the desert is. Unending sand and gravel, monotony, and no reason to believe that tomorrow will be better. Well, in the 17th chapter of the book of Jeremiah has hope for people who are in the desert. As a matter of fact, today we're going to learn how we can thrive in a desert. Maybe you think that that's not possible, but as we open God's Word to Jeremiah 17, we might find out that it's not as impossible as it seems, because God is with us in the desert. When you read the 17th chapter of Jeremiah, you think for sure that you are reading Psalm 1. Because there are real parallels between it and Psalm 1. And by the way, if you have a Bible that you have seen there in the rack in front of you, It is page 645. 645. You ought to open the text. Let's look at it together. It's a contrast between a shrub in a desert and a tree. Both of them have the same environment, but a very, very different outcome. Let's read the text beginning at verse 5 of Jeremiah 17. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert, and he shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. You know, next to the Dead Sea in Israel, you have a lot of salt, and nothing grows there, except occasionally you see a shrub. In contrast, verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. Notice, for his leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Just that far for a moment. Wow, what a contrast. It's the contrast between a shrub. The shrub represents a life that is empty, a life that really exists, but there's nothing there. There is no sense of well-being, no sense of meaning, no real sense of permanent accomplishment. Whereas the tree represents a life that is really fruitful. And God wants us as believers to be fruit-bearing. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that if you aren't bearing fruit, you're like those branches that are cut off and thrown into the fire. There is really no value to you so far as Jesus is concerned if you are not fruit-bearing. And what God wants us to do is to bear fruit while we are going through our desert experience and not be anxious in a year of drought. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, what is fruit? Fruit actually is the expression of the inner nature. And God wants us to bear fruit, which is the expression of the inner nature of God. You know, when I was growing up in Canada, it was kind of cold up there. Still is, by the way, especially in winter. When we were up there for my dad's funeral, it was 27 below. Now that's centigrade, but if you figure it out, it still is about 15 or 20 below Fahrenheit, and then it was a windy day. It was cold up there. So I grew up not seeing orange trees, I can assure you. I saw pictures in books of orange trees. I never thought I'd see an orange tree, but one day I was in Florida and we were driving along and suddenly there are oranges growing on trees. The textbooks were right. Oranges grow on trees. I made a very profound observation. Took a lot of study. I said, these are orange trees. Because, you see, that was the expression of their inner nature. Now, if they'd been apple trees, they would have been bearing apples, but they were orange trees. And bearing fruit means that we express the inner nature of God, of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And according to the Scripture, we can have that in a year of drought, when the heat is the hottest and there's no rain in the forecast. So what you notice not only is that we're able to bear fruit, but I'm looking now at verse 8. It says, it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit, even when times are bad. You say, well, that's impossible. Well, you listen to this message, because in a few moments, I think we're going to see that it is possible. It's possible to bear fruit in a time of drought. And it says in Psalm 1, he brings forth his fruit in his season. That doesn't mean, well, there are some times when I have the fruit of the Spirit, but there are other times when there's just no season for it. When the person cuts me off in traffic, that's not a time for bearing the fruit of the Spirit, that's a time, that's the wrong season to bear fruit. That's not what it means. It means that there are times when there's the season for figs, and there's the season for oranges, and there's the season for bananas. You always are bearing some fruit. It's God's intention that we always bear some fruit. But sometimes we bear one fruit of the Spirit, and we need it more than we do the other. But we bear our fruit in its season. Now, if we want to thrive in the desert, be very clear, first of all, that we have to be a tree and not a shrub. If you're just a shrub, empty, aimless, without purpose, disconnected from God, you can never bear fruit. You can do good things. We have to distinguish fruit from works. You can do good things. What you can't have, though, is the expression of the inner nature of God. That can only happen if you are a tree. So the first way in which we can survive in the desert, and must survive if we intend to in the desert, is, number one, we have to be planted. We have to be a tree and not a shrub. You say, well, I just feel like a shrub today. Maybe I am a shrub. How do I become a tree? Well, at the end of this message, I'm going to make it very, very clear as to how you can connect with God and become a tree. So hang on. Secondly, it is not only necessary that we must be a tree and not a shrub, but if we want to survive in the desert, we must be planted in the right place. Now, your Bible is open and your finger is pointing toward verse 8. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. The imagery here is a flowing stream where the water is fresh, as opposed to a stagnant pool. And so he's planted here beside the living water. And how is the person planted? Well, there it is in the text, verse 7. Blessed is the person who trusts in the Lord. That's the way we are planted close to a stream. It really means faith. Complete, total faith in God. A willingness to say, I trust God in the midst of the drought, in the midst of the heat, and I will not be shaken just because there does not seem to be the anticipation of any rain or moisture. Because I've got a secret stream, and I'm planted next to the stream, and I can make it. Now, you and I naturally resist faith in God by nature. What we do is we are confident in ourselves, and we will do it, and we will do it our way. And God is there to help us, but he's not there to take over. Nothing that drastic. And then we wonder where he is in an era of drought. I love to tell the story, because it's a true one, of a young medical student who came to see me because he was very frazzled. Clearly, he was in difficulty. He hadn't slept well because he had a lot of pressure on him to do well in medical school and to enter medical school. He hadn't entered yet. But he didn't think that his grades were high enough to get into medical school, and there was pressure on him from his parents, pressure from the family and from the inside, his own internal biological structure. His DNA was committed to being a doctor. And so he was seeing me because he was in distress. And he said, I don't think that my grades are high enough, and I'm facing some final exams. And he said, I can't sleep. I'm worn to a frazzle. So I smiled at him. Always smile before you give somebody a pill, before they take the castor oil. Smile. I said, you know, we can take care of that right here. Really? Yeah. All that you need to do is to give it totally, completely to God. Get this weight off your shoulders that you were not intended to bear anyway. And you so submit it to God that you say, God, whether I pass or whether I fail is up to you. I'm going to do the best that I can, but I am just going to free myself from this unbelievable pressure of thinking that I need to get into medical school. I said, let's just give it over to God so that you can walk out of here relaxed. He said, I can't do that. I said, why? He said, maybe God doesn't want me to pass medical school. How do I know that God is going to get me through? I said, come on. You're doing it on your own now, and you're not doing a very good job anyway, are you? You're probably going to flunk anyway. I mean, if you're going to flunk, do it victoriously, for heaven's sake. See, you and I resist it. And in resisting God, we impugn his goodness because we say he isn't going to be there for me in this time of need, and I'm not sure he's going to do it my way. So we resist trust in God. Now, this young man was a tree. By that I mean, I believe that he was a Christian. But you know, you can be a Christian and you can still be planted in the wrong place and not be beside the stream of water. And when that happens, even though you are a tree, you begin to look like a shrub, all dried up, no real hope. Just making it by sheer grit and determination, asking God to help you, to be sure. Everybody wants God's help to do what they want to do. But an unwillingness to finally give up the fight and give it to God totally. And so what we have here is the fact that those who trust in the Lord, notice it says, he does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. But contrast this to the man who trusts in himself, the person who says, I'm going to do it my way, to quote the words of a famous song. You'll notice it says in verse 6, he is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. Even when good comes, is he satisfied? No, he'll still complain. And what he doesn't understand is that there is goodness coming to him right now in the midst of drought, but he can't see it. All that he sees is the pain and the heat and the anxiety regarding the next house payment that has to be made, and that's all that he can see. He cannot see God. He's a shrub in the desert. Well, first of all, you have to be a tree if you want to survive in the desert. Secondly, you have to be planted at the right place. And third, you have to be growing to the right depth. Here again, I'm looking at verse 8. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by a stream. You know, I am told that when you see a tree, and there are some huge ones that are in existence, when you see a tree, there is as much beneath the ground as there is above the ground. In other words, that trunk and that root system goes down as deep as the tree is high. And then it extends these roots just everywhere. I think we'd be surprised if we could have a way to see into the ground, if we had an X-ray that would show us the tons and tons of strength that a tree is willing to have and has in order to sustain itself. And when you think of the redwoods in California, when I was there, I noticed that if one was growing crooked, buttresses would begin to grow up on the side to straighten it out. And all of that. But the Bible says that when there is a drought, we should be like a tree which begins to seek water and its roots will go off to find water. And that's why it is true to say that when a tree grows in an atmosphere where there is plenty of moisture, its roots are not nearly as deep and as strong as trees that grow in a desert. And its roots find a stream. You see, that's what God does in our deserts. That's what God does when things don't turn out, when we anticipate the future and the future that we anticipate is very different than the future that happens. That's what God is doing, is he's calling from heaven and say, don't you get it? I want you to develop strong roots that go down to a hidden stream so that you can endure it and so that you don't have to be anxious even in a year of drought. You know what happens with trees? There is photosynthesis, where the energy of sunlight that provides nutrients, all of that happens under the good hand of God as trees grow and as they have leaves and fruit. Now let's talk practically. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, how do you get this trust in God? How do you take those roots and develop them in a year of drought, in a year when you don't know the future, in a year of uncertainty, in a year in which you've even lost your job? How do you develop that? Well, it's not easy, but I need to give you some very important steps here. First of all, this trust in God can only come about by the Word of God itself. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it says in Psalm 1 that the person who meditates in the law of God day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in his season. That's the parallel to the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. You know what I discover in my own life? That when I am nourished by the Word on Wednesday, I'm dry on Thursday, and I have to get back into the Word. Because the nourishment that I received on Wednesday doesn't carry over to Thursday. Thursday's doesn't carry over to Friday, and on it goes. Therefore, if you are simply coming to church and you are not meditating in God's Word, you're not reading the Psalms, I can tell you that when the heat comes and when the pressure is on, you aren't going to have the resources. You aren't going to be able to have the kind of faith that you and I need when we're going through a drought. We will be anxious in a time of drought. And within time, we begin to dry up as Christians, and we are more like a shrub than we are a tree. Now, there's something else. It is not just the Word of God. It is the people of God. And this needs to be stressed. You see, here at the Moody Church, we have so many different opportunities for you to connect. Years ago, we have a promise statement that we frequently use. Moody Church is a trusted place where anyone can connect with God and with others. You can't just connect with God if you're not connected with others. And let me explain why, and to go back to the redwoods of California. When I was there many years ago, I was told that the roots in a redwood tree are not nearly as deep as you might think. Now, those roots spread out, so there's lots of root system under the tree, but they don't go down as deeply. And then this is what the redwoods do. They connect with one another. If you could see beneath the soil, you would find that like a spider's web, all of the trees are interconnected, so that if there's one tree over there beside a stream, all of the other trees benefit because they take advantage of the one tree that has some water, and their root systems are connected. My friend, if you're going through a trial, you can't bear it alone, and God never intended you to. Your root system needs to be connected. That's why we have TMC communities. If you only come to Moody Church to worship on Sunday morning and you are not connected, it may well be that you can endure for a while, but the time is going to come when you say that the night is so dark and the pain is so deep and the future is so hopeless that I can't endure it alone. I need God's people to come alongside of me, to help me, to encourage me, to pray with me, to hold me accountable. I need all that if I'm going to survive the desert. Because there are times when you can't even believe on your own others have to believe for you, and you use their strength to be connected to the stream. You see, that's why we have church. You know, this idea I remember reading years ago, that someday the church will not, you know, everybody's going to go to church on computer. Give me a break. Give me a break. Is this what it has come to? You can't connect with people on computer. You can't share prayer requests on computer. Oh, maybe you can in some way. But you can't connect your spirits. You can't interlock your root system with a computer. That's why all of you who are here today, you need to connect. You need to, yes, become a member most assuredly, but you need to become in a small group, a TMC community, all the way along the line. Because we can't survive the desert and the heat alone. What are we learning? First of all, that we need to be a tree and not a shrub. We need to be planted in the right place. We need to be planted to the right depth. And now, why should our lives be the way they are, and what is God trying to do? Two quick lessons. First, drought shows the contrast between a tree and a shrub. Very important. This is why God sends drought. This is why he sends economic collapses. He has a purpose. In 1968, I studied in Israel. The entire summer, 3 months, we lived in Jerusalem, and we crisscrossed the land. It was after the 67 war, and we had total freedom, freedom that people don't have today. You know, 1968, I mean, that's a long time ago. That makes me a little scared to have to say that I was even living in 1968. But I was studying in Israel. And one of the things we did is we took a 4-day trip to Mount Sinai, an incredible experience. Got up 3 o'clock in the morning and climbed to the top of Mount Sinai. You got up at 3 because it was cooler then. But on the way, we spent those days in the desert with a bus, by the way, that constantly was overheating. And you know, it would blow its top and all the water would go out. And fortunately, there were some tanks of water they brought with them. Oh, it was thirsty. Oh, it was hot. And sometimes in the distance, we'd see trees. We knew that even though we couldn't see the stream, there's got to be some hidden water there. And we'd go and we'd discover that there is an oasis, even if we couldn't see the water, though. We knew you don't grow a tree like that in the desert unless there's water hidden somewhere. Now, what does God do during a time of economic uncertainty? What he does is he puts people who work next to each other in businesses and factories and hospitals and offices. And what he wants to do is to show that there's a difference between the Christian and the non-Christian, because the Christian, as a tree, has resources in the year of drought. And that's why Colson says that whenever God sends cancer to a person who isn't a believer, he also sends cancer to a Christian so that the world can see the difference. And when a Christian is laid off and a non-Christian is laid off, they react differently. Why? Because they have resources when the heat comes. And so God wants to use our challenges to know that we react differently. And then people begin to ask, well, why is it that you're able to endure? And we become witnesses to the hidden stream. Because we're a tree in what should be unending gravel and desert. Second, drought reveals our real inner life, doesn't it? This gets to us very, very personally. The question is whether or not we really do know God, and how do we handle adversity? That's always the question in the Bible. From Genesis, basically, to Revelation, all the instruction regarding Christians is how do we handle adversity? Do we see God in adversity, or do we turn to ourselves and become obsessed with what is going on around us? If I were to sit down and have a cup of tea with each of you individually in my study and look you in the eye and ask you this question, what is your greatest problem? Be interesting to hear what you have to say. Be interesting to hear what I have to say. You may say, well, you know, it's a relationship that's gone sour. It is a health issue. It is a money issue. I mean, you name it. If we have thousands of people here today, thousands of different answers will be given. You know what the truth is, though? The real problem that we have does not exist outside of us. The real problem that we have exists within us. It's whether or not we have come to know God in such a way that we can cope because we found a hidden stream when the year of drought comes. That's really the issue. Now, you know, you look at this text and you say, well, you know, it makes no sense for a person to be a shrub. Why doesn't everybody just trust in the Lord and be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots? Why doesn't everybody do it? Oh, do you have any idea of your own heart? Do you realize how we live lives of self-deception and we live in fog because we want thoughts about ourselves that come to us spontaneously? We will not accept the thoughts of God's word about us. And that's why we want to do our own thing no matter how hot it is out there. Look at what it says in verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. You could translate desperately wicked. Who can understand it? I sure can't. Well, verse 10, God searches the heart and tests the mind. Wow. You and I will go on with our own strength, trusting ourselves as long as we can, and it works for a while. But when the real heat comes and the real drought begins to take over, self-confidence and self-trust will turn out to be an illusion, because only those who trust in the Lord have the hidden resources to survive in a desert. Do you trust God? Do I trust God? Do I understand that my biggest problem is within me and not my circumstances? Do you understand that? Most of us don't. There's a man by the name of George Mueller. He lived in England in the 1800s, and he had about 8 or 9 orphanages that he ran without asking for any funds. Now, many people think that that is the way you should do things. You should never ask for money. I disagree with that because the Bible disagrees with it. Paul asked for money. Jesus commented on money, constantly talking about it. People today in churches get jittery when you talk about it. But if it's talked about the way Jesus talked about it, we should talk about it. But anyway, God led Mueller to do this, and he knew that this was a special leading that he had. And he says the reason he did it is because there were 3 categories of people that didn't trust God. The first is the old people didn't think God would be there for them. Remember, they had no retirement, no social security. We're talking about the 1800s. And they thought that God wouldn't be there for them in their closing days, that they would live such miserable lives. And he needed to prove to them that God is trustworthy. The second category were business people, because he said that businessmen were beginning to think that they had to cheat in order to keep up with the competition. They could not run an honest business and compete. Therefore, they had to cut corners and cheat to be competitive. And he needed to prove to them that if you do what is right, you can actually trust God, even in a year of drought. The third category were those who had physical disabilities who didn't think God would be there for them. What Mueller is basically saying is, look, drought hits everyone, saved, unsaved, religious, non-religious. The question is, can you and I survive a year of drought because our faith is strong enough when the rain stops and the paycheck ends? That's the question. The text says we have inner resources. Now, the bottom line is this. To start this journey, what you and I need to do is to understand that first we have to be a tree and not a shrub. So let me speak to those of you who are shrubs out there. Empty, bouncing around looking for an answer and nothing works. You're trying to be a tree, but it ain't working. How do you become a tree so that you can be planted by the water, so that you can learn to develop roots that go to a stream? You know, there's a story told you before, happened in Canada, where all the neighbors got together and they accepted a proposal to have trees planted along what I would call a boulevard in the middle of their street. And they wanted evergreens planted there, and of course everybody had to be in agreement so that the whole street would have evergreens. And they pooled their money and the trees were planted, and these little evergreens refused to grow. They watered them and watered them and watered them, and they just dried up. Finally, somebody just pulled one out of the ground, and then he realized something. These were not evergreen trees. They were only branches. What the guys had done is they had just put in a bunch of branches, no root system. Jesus said that every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. All the shrubs are coming out someday, pulled out. You have to be planted by God. I have to ask you very personally, and I'm talking here even to church members here at Moody Church, are you planted by God? It's possible, you know, to be a shrub and to be a member of Moody Church if you give the right answers to all the questions. The Bible says that if we finally confess our helplessness and our sin, and confess that we have leaned on our own righteousness, and that needs confession too, that then we can believe on Jesus and be saved, planted by God. So I ask you, have you been planted by Him? If so, drought may be coming, but you can make it. Let's pray. Receive, O Father, we ask, the prayers of our hearts. We ask, Father, that during this time of drought and uncertainty for so many, you might help us to be knit together as a root system. And for those, Lord, who've never trusted Christ as Savior, they're trying to do it, that is not working. Show them that they need a new heart. You have to plant them. Before I close this prayer, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, would you just say, Jesus, today I want to become a tree. I want to receive Christ as Savior. Tell him that. I know that I'm a sinner. I believe in Jesus. Just tell Jesus that, if that's your heart's desire. And those of you who know him as Savior, would you commit to the coming months, to this year, that you will pursue with all of your strength deeper roots. Grant it, O God, we ask in Jesus' name, because we are helpless. Amen.
On today's Moody Church Hour, Dr. Erwin Lutzer spoke about finding a stream in the desert, a call to trust God in the midst of these uncertain times. For many, just getting through another day is a real challenge. Whether it's health or job concerns or family issues, all too many face an uphill climb every day. Next time on the Moody Church Hour, we begin a brief series from the book of Exodus on what to do when life is hard. Plan to join us. Today's message on finding a stream in the desert can be yours on CD for a gift of any amount to the Moody Church Hour. Just call 1-800-215-5001. Let us know you'd like to support Dr. Lutzer's ministry. Our thank you will be a CD with today's inspiring message. Call us at 1-800-215-5001 or write to us at The Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, go to moodyoffer.com. That's moodyoffer.com. Join us next week at this same time for another Moody Church Hour with Dr. Erwin Lutzer and the Congregation of Historic Moody Church in Chicago.